Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today we celebrate the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And from Jamaica, we hear from Father B. Mullins, who works in Kingston as a school teacher, university chaplain, and master of pre-novices. His preaching today is entitled The Immaculate Heart or Guts of Mary.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and their acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's commemoration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is, of course, a follow-up to yesterday's solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There's a good case for renaming devotion to the Sacred Heart as devotion to the Sacred Guts of Jesus. We hear an awful lot more in the Gospel about Jesus' intestines than we do about his heart. The Greek word most commonly used to describe Jesus' compassion, splanchnitzomai, literally means having a wrench or a sensation in the gut. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, towards the end of his hymn of thanksgiving for the coming Messiah, sings of the entrails of God's loving kindness. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus cries out in the temple a prophecy applying to himself that is sometimes translated, "Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water," but a more literal translation would be, "out of his belly." And this is a prophecy that we are expected to call to mind when we hear the account of Jesus' side being pierced, which doesn't mention the heart. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart could equally be devotion to the immaculate insides of Mary. A Hebrew word for mercy, rachamim, directly stems from the word for a womb, and the sense of Mary as immaculate is closely tied to her virginity, her inviolate womb. The associations of particular body parts, of course, change over time. One of the challenges of modern devotion to the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts is that we associate the heart too much with pure emotion, and we pit it against the frigid rationality of the head. In biblical terms, the heart has a more rounded significance. The guts were associated with strong feelings, whether of tenderness or of rage. The heart was thought of as the determinative centre of personality, the central part which weighed the balance of our decisions and gave a decisive orientation to character, for good or ill, for God or for idols. That is why in the Old Testament, God promises to give his people a new heart or to write his law upon their heart. It's a way of saying that God means to make their whole person anew and fully aligned with his will for them. Devotion to Mary's immaculate, sinless heart is devotion to a heart wholly set on God, wholly attuned to his purposes. And the quality of Mary's heart is determinative for the whole of her bodily and historical existence. "She conceived the Son of God first by faith in her heart," remarks St. Augustine. "And because of that, she could conceive him in the flesh, in her womb." both at the spiritual centre of her being, in her heart, and in the outplay of her life, Mary is in a special way translucent to God. Alongside her son, and in collaboration with him, she reveals something to us of God's nature. Pope Benedict XVI liked to say that in Mary's willingness to follow and suffer with her son en route to Calvary, we are helped to see more clearly the compassion of God, who is with us in our suffering, even though God does not experience suffering as we do. Mary was with Jesus, even though she wasn't, in fact, being crucified like him. And just as the celebration of Jesus' sacred heart, sacred guts, brings true of God what could only be metaphor in the Old Testament, all those expressions of tender love and outraged anger and jealousy and compassionate sorrow, so the Immaculate Heart of Mary incarnates, if you will, something of the motherly love frequently attributed to God in Scripture. If God has compassion, rachamim, then God, in a certain sense, has a womb. And in the fullness of time, his compassion for the whole human race was to find living expression in what was conceived of Mary's womb. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them, we read in the book of Genesis. From the beginning, human beings are male and female. It wouldn't be unreasonable to interpret this passage as locating the image of God in the male and female that God created, rather than in the individual human being. And certainly, at the end of the ages, it is the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, two hearts rhymed to the Holy Spirit, who together give us the image of God, the image of the great lover of humankind.